I invite you, please flip to the back of your service flyer. And our text is going to be from Matthew chapter 22. And we're just going to do verses 34 through 40 for our text today. Let me read it to you. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This is the word of our Lord today. Well, for those of you that know me, let me introduce myself. My name is Pastor Justin. I'm an associate pastor here at Grace. And one of the things I love about being a pastor is I love to preach. I do. I love to preach. One of my favorite things. And I love when sometimes as a pastor, I get to take a really obscure Bible passage or verse that not a lot of people know, and I really get to dive into it and open it up, and people walk away going, wow, I've never heard that verse before and preached, and there's so much there. I love that. And I love other times, sometimes you get a really popular verse, and you get to preach it in a whole new way and go something different with it, and people go, wow, that was cool. I've heard that verse so many times, but I've never heard it preached that way. Today is a little bit different. Today we have a really popular verse, and there's not a lot to talk about it because it is so profound yet so simple. Like I joked with the ladies in the office earlier this week that I ought to just reread it and then just like walk down. Like it's really that simple. You know, when we talk about this simple concept of love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. And then elsewhere in the scriptures, it adds to this. It says with all of your strength and with all of your body and love your neighbor as yourself. There's not a lot to get, but it's truly a huge, profound point. And so today, as we continue our series of Get His Point, today we're going to talk about this. The two big things that we have to catch from this. And so this is the interesting thing, is as I read those words to you, that those two simple verses, I would imagine there's probably nobody in the room right now that's going, I have no idea what that means. Please break that down for us. You know, what does it mean to love? We think we understand this. But here's the thing. Because of our sin and because of our life experiences, love is a very complex word. We like to think that it's a very simple concept. Love. You love something. But because of certain tragedies, for certain abuses, certain struggles, that word love, there's a lot behind it. And it's really not so simple. And it's actually quite complex. If you've ever dated, if you've ever been married, if you've ever been divorced, you know love is quite a challenge. And you can attest to that, the fact it's not that simple. You know, one of the most helpful and challenging things my wife, Jo, and I have done in our marriage is we've read the book Five Love Languages. Has anybody read that? Yeah, interesting book. And it talks about we all give and receive love, but there's multiple languages or modes of love that we give. And what it talks about is the five are words of affirmation, physical touch, acts of service, quality time, and gifts. And so what you do is you read the book, and each chapter is about one of those things, and you learn all about it. And then at the end, you take an assessment, and they have a whole quiz for you. And there's two options, and you pick one. And then by the end of it, you discern which one is your love language, or maybe you have a couple. And so you get done, and you're excited because you're like, yes, this is me. I do love to get love in this way. And you look at your partners, and you say, wow, you like to get love in that way. And then it gets interesting because what if they don't match up? And then it gets more interesting in the fact that you stop, you flip and reverse it, and you say, when I want to show you love, I would rather do this or this. And you come out with, even though, and what's interesting is even though you might like to receive love in a certain language, you might like to give it in a different language. And what was interesting was we got done, and my wife had a very high one, and I had like a zero in wanting to do it. And I said, wow, that's interesting. And she said, yeah, I already knew. Not a mystery to me, but it was to me. For instance, ours was acts of service. She's very high on acts of service. I'm like a zero at it. I do not think of giving love in acts of service. But she definitely receives it that way. And I was like, wow, that really stinks for you. You know, and she was like, oh, no, no, no. And I was joking. What we talked about, we did have a great conversation after that. And when I had to learn to express love in this way, even though it means nothing for me, but I knew she needed to have that filled for her. And so I had to learn to love her in that way and to grow in that way of giving love. And so even in something as simple as your spouse's relationship of love, it can actually be quite complicated. And when we look at our lives together with your family, your parents, your siblings, your extended family, your spouse, your children, there are so many different people to love, and there are so many different ways to love them in so many complex ways. And when we talk about that, we understand, wow, love is a lot more difficult than I thought. And then we take it a step further today. Because when we talk about God, and loving God, you know, we have to think about it. I am a human being here on earth, and I am supposed to have a loving relationship with an all-powerful spiritual being, God of the universe. How does that work? How do I actually show that God love? Because we like to think it's very simple. Love and God, it goes together. And we know He loves us. He sent His Son to die for us. He loves us unconditionally, whether we're good or whether we're bad. And we know that we are surrounded by His love in all ways and in all times. We know that He shows His love to us in very big ways. And we know He shows us His love in even the tiniest little things. We know that He shows His love to us through each other. And sometimes just directly He shows us His love. And we know that He wrote an entire book, the Bible, to tell us about how much He loved us and about how far and how extended His love would go to pursue us. Here's the problem with all that. That's what He's done. That's what He's done. What do we do to say I love you to Him? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, I think our trouble today is this. We have a very one-sided love relationship with God. And we think, well, He's the God of the universe. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need me to say I love you. He doesn't need anything. He's God. What does it matter what I say or do? And so we say, you know what? I say I love you sometimes to Him. Maybe sometimes I don't. I sing a song and it says love in it. So, I mean, that works, right? And I show up at His house once a week, maybe twice a week, sometimes three times a week. I talk to Him when I need things. I believe in Him. Isn't that love? Well, let me ask you, is it? Is that love? Or do we need to wrestle with this of how do we show love to God? How do we make it a two-way street where we're just not constantly basking in the glow and the lavishness of His love, but we're in turn giving it back to Him in an active relationship? And I understand how challenging this is. I mean, how do you love a God? We say we love God, but how do you actually love a God? How do you do that? And that's what's so awesome about these texts that we know so well from the scriptures of that God gives us today is that God provides that answer for us. Just like when I did 5 love languages with my wife, it allowed me a blueprint of how I can show love and receive love from her. God today is giving us a blueprint. He says, I love you. Now let me tell you how you can show me love too. Let me tell you how you can do your part in this. And so He gives us this depth and this fullness, this blueprint of how we're to love Him. And so, as Pastor Rich said, today is we are celebrating Reformation Day, you know, Martin Luther. And so in classic Martin Luther style, we are going to go through the text and ask, what does this mean? And so we're going to start at the very beginning. What does this mean to love God with all of your heart? What does that mean? And I think it's pretty simple. I think we all know great love stories. Do you know some great love stories? You know, maybe a movie or a book or something you've seen in life. To me, ultimate love story out there, the movie Braveheart, right? Everybody? Nobody else? Best love story there is. That man loved that woman, did he not? He loved that woman. He started a whole war for her, in my opinion. But there's probably better examples. You know, you have the modern ones, The Notebook, Pride and Prejudice, Count of Monte Cristo, these great love stories. And maybe you have some that you can think of. Great love stories that you know. And what's the common element that you say, wow, that's a great love story? It's not the sensual lusting after one another. It's the fact that they have such a passion, such a zeal, such an unquenchable desire for the person. That's what's compelling, that no matter what, there is this passionate, zealous zeal that draws you in. And you say, that's an incredible love story. Well, friends, when we ask the question, what does it mean to love God with all your heart? It's that. To love Him so passionately, so zealously, so unquenchably, that all of your heart encompasses Him. That doesn't mean that He's the only person you love. You love your people here on earth too. But you should love God with that in your heart. And then we continue it on. And we ask the question, what does it mean to love God with all of your mind? How does a mind love something? What does it mean to love God with all of your mind? And I think the answer is this. It means that you limit or you cut out your purposeful distraction. We all know that we are going to get distracted in life. We're going to get distracted. But in our downtime, which we all have at some point, it means cutting out the purposeful distractions. I mean, do you ever just take downtime, quiet, on a couch, in your room, whatever you're doing, just quiet time, and go to the Lord and say, God, how are we doing? How are you and I? God, I'm really spitballing it here as a parent. Please help me in this. God, I don't know what I'm doing in my marriage. Please help me in this. God, I don't know what's happening at work. Please help me in this. You ever just take time in your downtime to just be engaged with Him? Let your mind focus on Him and focus on that relationship. Because see, I think a lot of times we purposefully distract ourselves in moments of downtime, whether it be sports, and you all know me, I love sports, and I have to watch how much I love my sports. But for some other people, I think it can be entertainment as well. Is every time you have downtime, is there a TV on and you're just mindlessly watching movies, or is there a book in your hand? Is it entertainment that you distract with? Is it nature? Some people, if they're free, they are out in nature. They're camping. They're doing things. Or maybe it's your imagination. It's hobbies and games and different things like that. Or maybe it's dating for you. You're seeking somebody, and that just encompasses everything you're doing, or your pets, or food and cooking. But I think when we talk about loving God with all of our mind, it means that we consciously cut out purposeful distractions and allow time to focus on Him. Allow time to just allow our mind to just focus on what He's done and who He is and our relationship with Him and love Him through that time. And then when we ask the question, what does it mean to love God with all of our soul? I think that what we're getting at here is to love Him with the very essence of who we are and our deepest nature of ourself. Not a surface level thing, but a deep, authentic thing. Because we know what it means to love Him on the surface, do we not? We know how that looks. But I think when we talk about loving Him with our soul, it means deep inside of us, in the very essence and authentic, awesome taste, whatever word I'm trying to say there, with all authenticity, loving Him in our core. But I also want to continue on, because we know in a couple other places when they talk about loving God, they add two other things. Loving Him with all of your body and loving Him with all of your strength. And I want to talk about those two, even though they're not in our verse for today. Because what does it mean to love God with all your body? And I think it means don't compartmentalize with God. Because I know some people, and I'm sure you do too, where, you know what, they love God with their hands and their feet. They serve Him, but their mouth, they don't love God. The things that come out of there, woo! Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe they love God with their mouth. They say all the right things, but their hands and their feet aren't going with it. Or I also think it has other natures, you know, where we compartmentalize. Maybe it's with sexuality. We think, well, you know what? So much of my life follows God. What I do in my private little time, what I do with my sexuality, sleeping around or pornography or lusting, what I do privately, that's not a big deal because 75% of my life is for God. 75% of my body is for God. I do good things on the other times. Or maybe it's that we follow God with our body, but, you know, pills or drugs or alcohol also come into the play. And we say, well, you know what? So much of my life is okay that this can slide. And this is okay. And God says, no, 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 no. Love me with all of your body. Don't compartmentalize. This is for God and this isn't. Love me with all your body. And then it goes to the last one. What does it mean to love God with all my strength? And I think what it means is you have to work at it. No relationship on this earth is going to come easy. You have to work at it. There are going to be times where there's a miscommunication or a misunderstanding or a, God, I prayed for this and you did the exact opposite. And you have to work through that. You have to come at him with a ferocity to hold the relationship together. And you have to understand that you can't just throw in the towel at the first chance. You have to actually work through your strength, work on the relationship and hold on to the relationship. And there's a seriousness about it, not a hobby, not a dabbling. And there's a serious in the nature of which you worship him. But then we continue on to the next verse. What does it mean to love my neighbor as myself? And it's interesting, we are studying this from the book of Matthew. But in the book of Luke, right after Jesus says these things, the lawyer goes, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responds with the story of the Good Samaritan. And what we learn from this is when we ask the question, who is my neighbor? It's not family, friends, people I like. It means we are connected to all people. We are connected to all people. And we are not living this life for ourselves. We are living this life for all of us. It's kind of like running the marathon. There are certain people that are out there to get their best time, and they are focused on them, and they are running the race. And then there are the other people that are moving along, and they see somebody struggling, and they say, come on, we all got to get to the finish line, let's go. And they lift one another up. That's what we're talking about here. That we don't live this life for ourselves and our own goals and our own strivings. That we look at one another and we say, how can we finish this together? How can we get everybody to the finish line? Loving our neighbors as ourselves means I care about all of you as much as I care about myself. I'm going to get us all there. And I'm going to help you through this. And so when we see this, it means the neighbor is anyone and everyone. Anyone in need of compassion. Regardless of their background, regardless of their socioeconomic status, anyone in need of mercy is our neighbor, and we need to love them equal to ourselves. We need to serve them and want the best for them as much as we want the best for ourselves. And so when we unpack all that, God simply says to us this, I love you so abundantly and richly, and all I'm asking is that you love me back, and this is how you do it. Love me with all that you have and love what I love, which is everyone around you. And I think sometimes we can be like the Pharisees at the very beginning of this text where we hear this and we go, yeah, but what's the most important thing? Like, if I was going to put them in order of the things I'm actually going to do, like, what's number one and what can I slide on? Do you ever do that? I know I do. What do I need to hold and what can slide? And so we're like the Pharisees in this. What are the loopholes? What are the shortcuts? And what we need to do is we need to call that out for what it is. That's God saying, I love you, and us looking back at him and saying, I kind of love you. You'll have to deal with that. I'm half on board. I'm a quarter on board. I'm three-fourths on board. And when I say that, I'm not going to hit you with law. And say, shame on you. You have to love God. How dare you do this? I'm going to hit you with gospel. Because I think some of us out there, this is a challenge. We hear, oh, love God. And you think, well, I try. But I mean, like, how do you do that? And you don't do it by simply willing it. You know, you don't just today as you walk out of here go, God, I'm going to say this and hope it's true. I really, really love you today. You know, you don't just force yourself into it. I think what you do is you lean into the gospel. You say, God, you so richly and abundantly love me. And from that, it wells up bigger. Does that make sense? You get your strength to love him more by being strengthened that he loves you more. You know, it's interesting. I know some people in this life, and what they do is, when, especially in the dating world, they only put themselves out there as much as they think the other person is. I'm only going to put myself out there. I don't want to get hurt. I'm only going to love to this level because I'm only getting loved back at this level. And so that's how they treat God sometimes. Is, God, I'm going to love you at this level, and then you bless me, and I'll love you a little bit more. And then you can bless me, and I'll love you a little bit more. And then you can bless me. And so, God, your move here, I'll only love you as much as you love me. Here's the stupid thing about that is God's already all in. God's already pushed all the chips to the middle of the table. He had his son die for you. He's already all in. And we're tiptoeing back here saying, well, I don't want to get left hanging. And he's going, you foolish little person. You need to recognize how much I love you. And good luck trying to match me on that. Friends, I think we can try as best we can, but there are no shortcuts and there are no loopholes to this. In order to show God love back, we need to love him with everything we have and love what he loves, which is everyone around us. And I think it's interesting also, I think there are some people that are really good at this, but only like one half of it. And I can point to certain people I know that truly, with all they have, they love God. With all of their heart, with all of their mind, with all their soul, with all their body, with all their strength. They know the scriptures backwards and forwards. They dive into them. They can quote any verse you want to quote. They read every book on theology possible. They know everything about their God, and they love everything about their God. You know what they forget to do? Love their neighbor. And to that person, if that's you today, it's pretty simple. I don't need to quote a Bible verse to you. You know them all. We are called to love our neighbors. It is a completion of loving God. Not just love him, but love what he loves and be a good steward of what he loves. And so we are called to love our neighbors. And sometimes you can get so focused on yourself and your relationship that you forget the others. And God calls you to look at the others. But then we can be on the other side of things. And we can love people so much. And we can serve them and comfort them and help them and support them. But then when it comes time to get to the truth of Scripture with them, when it comes time for ultimatums and life changes, when something really needs to happen, when calling out sin really needs to happen, we say, well, you know what? That's kind of cold. That's kind of heartless. That kind of lacks compassion. And we can love people so much, but we can lack our love and our respect for God. And there's a lot of barriers that would cause you to be this person if this is you. But I would say the main ones are you may be afraid of your own personal judgment. Or maybe you're afraid of losing the relationship. But what we know is that if you truly love somebody, you will discipline them. Because you care about them and you want to see their life change. You don't want them to consistently sit and wallow in the filth of their sin. You want their life to change. And if you love them enough, you will speak the truth and love to them. And that's the godly way to do this. And that shows love for God. And so as we unpack all this and we look at this, this is my prayer for us today. I pray that we would be a people, we right here would be a people that know what it is to truly love God. And that we would love our God with all of our faith, with all of our zeal, with all of our passion, with all of our heart, all of our soul, mind, body, and strength. And that we would reach out to all of our neighbors, even when it costs us. That we would reach out to them even if we are viewed socially unacceptable. There are people that would happen. When you start a prostitution ministry, when you start a ministry to pedophiles, there are ways where it can be socially unacceptable to reach out to all those in need. I pray we would never back down from that. I pray that we would never back down from reaching out to those in need for our own safety or because it cost us financially. I pray that that's the type of people we would be. And the truth is that if you've been at this church or any Bible-believing church, you have heard countless times how much God loves you, and he does. So richly and abundantly that it overflows. Today, I hope you get the point that we show our love right back to him in two key ways. That we love him with everything we have, and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. May God bless you in this, and all of us in this mission that we have been given. And all God's people said, amen.